Please remain standing for the reading of God's word this morning. It's from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 and 13 through 20. It's printed on the back of your worship guide and it's in the Pew Bible on page 839. Now, for the next few months between now and Easter, we're going to be hearing the account of Jesus' life and ministry from the Gospel of Mark. Now, last week, Jesus told us why he spoke in parables. And this week, we're going to hear Jesus tell us one of his parables. And it's a parable about the power of his word and why it's important for us to listen. Mark chapter 4. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him. So that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Continuing verse 13, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you then understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Please be seated.
Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this word. Lord Jesus, we hear it today, and it is a little concerning to us because we hear you tell us to listen. And we know we're often distracted, Lord Jesus, so would you help us today to listen and not just listen, but really hear. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take these words, the word of the gospel, word of truth, and sink it down deeply into our hearts. And we know, Lord Jesus, that the problem is often with us, not with the word. So, Lord, would you have mercy on us? Holy Spirit, have mercy on us and give us receptive hearts today to hear it, to really hear it. Holy Spirit, you know many of us in this room have heard this parable literally hundreds of times. Holy Spirit, we need fresh ears. Continue to hear it and press it into our souls, we ask, by your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. I know all of you have heard the news. Several weeks ago at West Freeway Church near Fort Worth, right in our area, the terrible shooting that took place, two congregation members killed. After that event, obviously, church security and safety has come to the forefront, again, as it has in the past several months and years here in America. And I know several of you have voiced those concerns to some of our elders, and you heard, if you were at the congregational meeting on Wednesday, you heard them address those concerns that you may have about safety and the danger of shootings and violent crime. And surely we as Christians need to be wise and protect from violent crime. But as I pondered these words in Mark chapter 4 this week, I couldn't help wondering if this would be the danger that Jesus would be most concerned about for Town North. Would Jesus be the most concerned about an active shooter? As we read in the life of the Lord Jesus, I couldn't think of a time when he did say things to that effect, but what did come to mind was times when Jesus said this: "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." In other words, don't fear men. Fear God. Fear God. Listen to him. Listen to his words. Be most concerned about God. So Jesus would probably say to us, if we were here today, you know what? Be more concerned about how you listen to me. Especially we see that in the text today. And he was trying to get that across to his hearers at the time that he spoke this parable in verse 2. Notice how he starts. Listen. Behold. Behold's like an exclamation point to listen. Listen is an imperative statement. It's a saying, I cannot tell you more strongly. When Jesus tells you to listen, we better listen. And he's trying to really bring focus to this, say, you really need to listen to me right now. Focus and hear what I'm saying. Why this emphasis? Because Jesus knew what he spoke in this word of the gospel was extremely important. It was the most vital thing for them. It was more important than their physical health or harm that could come to their bodies. Their greatest danger was not a gunman. Their greatest danger was sitting in front of him and not listening. Do you realize that today? Think about that. This is what struck me. The greatest danger we face every Sunday in this room is not a shooter. The greatest danger we face in this room every Sunday is not hearing what the Lord Jesus says. That's clearly where Jesus put his emphasis. You need to listen. Listen closely. Your soul is at stake. The life of your soul and the life as a Christian is at stake. Your lifeblood comes from my word. My word is like seed, and that's the illustration he uses here, right? He's using the word seed as an illustration to tell us something, and the seed is meant to represent the word of the gospel that he's teaching. Notice that's what he calls it in verses 3 and 4 and verse 14. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell along the path. So the sower is sowing seed. And then he explains for us in verse 14 what this seed is. Look at verse 14. The sower sows the word. The word I'm giving you is the seed that's being sown. This seed, and it's a very apt analogy, isn't it? A perfect word picture that only Jesus could come up with, I'm sure, to say, what is this message of the word of the gospel like? It's like a seed. Why is seed a good image? Because there is power in a seed to produce new life, isn't there? We know that in a seed is the power to germinate and produce a plant. Ralph Waldo Emerson said it like this: the creation of 1,000 forests is in one acorn. Realize that? 1,000 forests, the power to create in one little acorn that you could step on the ground. There's power and potential in this seed, and it can either be hindered or unleashed depending on the soil that it falls upon. And you know, Jesus is talking about hearers that he explains for us. He says, you know, it's a story telling about seed falling into the ground, but the ground is those who hear it. So there's power in this word of the gospel that I'm giving you, Jesus says, but it depends on the soil that receives it, whether that power is hindered or unleashed. These are words that all of us need to hear and understand. Jesus says there's power there. Receive it. So I just want to, for the next few minutes, ponder these four different kinds of hearers that Jesus talks about. First, he describes a hard soil hearer. Secondly, a rocky soil. Thirdly, a thorny soil. And fourthly, a receptive soil. So there's a hard soil that the seed falls on. There's a rocky soil, there's a thorny soil, and there's a receptive soil. Listen to what he says about each one of these soils. First, he tells us about this hard soil. Look at the description in verse 15 that he gives them. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Now, it's interesting. Notice he's talking about the seed does fall and land on this hard ground. It still falls. So this is not necessarily a person that's hostile to the gospel or Christianity who hears it. It could be, but most, you know, it could be someone who is hostile to Christianity, but they happen to be visiting relatives on Christmas, and their relatives want to go to the worship service and to church, and they'd go, I don't want to, but okay, I'll go just for you guys and sit, and maybe some seed would fall on them then. Or it could most likely be just someone who's a regular church attender, a member, and is not hostile to Christianity, but is hearing, and the seed is falling on them regularly. But notice Jesus is saying this seed of the word of the gospel doesn't produce fruit. And why is that? Because it's hindered in some way. Why is it hindered? Because it doesn't penetrate. You know, all the image here is a very clear one, right? If it's hard ground, if you've got a path through a field and 10,000 people have been walking on a path, you know what that ground's like. It becomes hard just like the concrete. If you throw a seed on it, a seed's not going to fall in and germinate. And that's what Jesus is saying here. This soil is hindered because it doesn't penetrate. It doesn't go any further below the surface. It hits the ground and then it's snatched away by the devil. In other words, they hear it, and 5 minutes later, it's gone. Now, maybe some of you have experienced this. I know I have. Have you ever read through a page of the Bible and have your mind somewhere else, and after reading the whole page, go, I do not know a word that was said? I've had that experience. Or listen, you can listen to a Christian podcast, or you can listen to a sermon on, or a Bible on audio. You can be working out or doing something, and you can listen for 15 minutes. 15 minutes go by, and then somebody asks you, oh, what were you doing? Listen to the Bible. Oh, yeah, what did it say? I don't know. Don't have a clue. I was just listening for 15 minutes. I don't even have a clue. I was hearing, but I wasn't listening. Jesus says that's what happens. There's no power that comes from this seed because it just sits there on the surface, and then the devil loves it when that happens, right? Because he'll just snatch whatever was even there, snatch it away. And so first Jesus says the seed is powerful and it has powerful work power in it, but it's hindered because of the soil that it hits, and the soil it hits is a hardened soil. It's not receptive, and so Christ's riches and power are available, but they're not benefiting the person because they're just going off. So that's the hard soil. But notice Jesus talks about another soil, another kind of hearer, a rocky soil. Verses 16 and 17, it tells the kind of person is hears this way. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Notice again, the power's in the seed, it's there, but the soil that receives it hinders that power somehow. This time the power is hindered by the seed penetrating, but it's not going deep enough. Notice it goes farther than the hard soil. There's some soil there, a little bit, but there are a lot of rocks around the soil, and it gets a little bit of traction. but then it doesn't get a deep root. And that could be the person who hears the gospel. It makes an impression on them. It can move your emotions. You can enjoy hearing the forgiveness of sins this person does, but it doesn't really have much root. It's not penetrated that deeply. This person's not like the hard soil previously, as I mentioned. The soil does penetrate, but not enough. It doesn't penetrate to seeing the depth of sin in the heart. This person doesn't see the depth of what's really going on in their heart. And they also don't see the heights of joy of the grace of the gospel. It doesn't penetrate far enough. It doesn't go far enough to be able to give enough root so that when the hard times come, it's not uprooted. And that's what Jesus is describing here, right? The person eventually, when a challenge comes or a difficulty comes, says, I'm not ready for that, and falls away, renounces the faith, says the thing they were thought they were holding on to, they really weren't holding on to very much at all. You can hear something, and you probably had this in your own experience in situations like that, right? You hear something, you're excited about it, but eventually you're not really interested anymore. I had that happen in fifth grade. I still remember in fourth grade, our music teacher had some older students come in and play violin for us in a music class. And I remember thinking, that was fantastic. I heard these students play the violin. I thought, wow, it's amazing. Look at how good they are. It just seemed effortless. And look at the cool instruments, these wooden violins. And I remember being excited. I went home and begged my mom to be able to play the violin in fifth grade next year. So sure, I did. I played the violin. I got in to the orchestra, and then pretty soon, you know what I found out? It's not effortless. And it wasn't that fun, and I didn't really enjoy it, and I didn't really enjoy the violin, so by eighth grade, I quit. I wasn't really interested in deep study of the violin. I was just enamored by what I saw, and that can happen when people hear of this gospel of Jesus Christ. We can receive it, and it goes, seems to penetrate to some level, but not deep enough to penetrate true depth of sin, true joy and heights of Christ and his work and redemption. So Jesus is warning us here, be careful how you hear this word of the gospel. There are many people in even congregations today that are like this, if you think about it. They're not inattentive hearers, and they're not the hard soil that doesn't want to hear, but do hear. And they like to hear. They're not hard soil. They listen, emotionally moved and engaged, and they think their condition is going pretty well, but God's word isn't penetrating enough, and they don't know it until it gets to be that time when it's tested. And it can seem like things are going well and you're letting the word sink into your heart, but you haven't really been faced with this challenge of, I'm going to lose my reputation now if I follow Christ. I'm going to lose my money. I'm going to lose my job, this means. I'm going to be rejected by family members now if I follow Christ. Ooh, then it becomes a challenge and say, how bad did I really want that? It's like me and that fifth grade violin. Did I really want that? Do I really want this Christ? And there's actually a quote, a pastor shared it with me when he was in a really hard time. You don't really realize Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you've got. Sometimes things are stripped away and we have all these props that are there when things are going well and I'm hearing the gospel and it's great and yeah, it's nice. Hard times come and everything's stripped away and then you realize, what do I really hold on to in life? What's the rock bottom ground that I stand on? Is it Jesus Christ? And that's where the separation comes, right? It's now that I need this Jesus and realize he's everything I have for hope in this life and the life to come. And you don't realize Jesus is everything you need until he's all you've got. Then you realize in deep ways, wow, Jesus, you're my Lord, the King. You're all there is in life. The only purpose that I have in life is you. And I realize now that's what it's all about. You've stripped everything away. So Jesus tells us this word's powerful, but it can be hindered by rocky soil that it doesn't penetrate far enough, and be careful of that because there may be a day when it's tested and you'll find out it's not really as deeply rooted as you thought. So Jesus warns about the rocky soil here. Then notice he has a third soil, the thorny soil. Verses 18 and 19, he describes this kind of here. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Notice this soil. It says, notice the power's in a seed again. The power is there. All of the riches and power of Christ are there, but it's hindered and choked out by three things. Jesus says the powerful word of the gospel is choked out, for one, by cares of the world somebody can have. This is a person who has just too many things. The seed is hindered because there are too many things going on. I don't receive any hope, comfort, peace, or encouragement from the gospel. Why is that? Because you're not listening. And you're not taking the time to listen. You got busy with home, busy working out, busy with soccer practice, busy with fantasy football league, and I've got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got so many things going on. I can't listen. Well, and you know what that does? It chokes out this word of the gospel in your soul, Jesus says. And it's no wonder that you don't have peace. You're not really letting it sink in and soak in what I've really done for you in this word of the gospel. Not only that, Jesus says, but also deceitfulness of riches can choke it out and make it unfruitful. Planning, thinking, looking for investments in retirement, looking for passive income streams and all the things that I can do to get myself in a good financial place so that, boy, if I have enough money, I could be comfortable and life would be good. And notice what Jesus says about that. It's deceitfulness, the deceitfulness of riches. Why? How do riches deceive us? Because they hold out to us this promise saying, boy, you know what? If you had enough of me, you would be so comfortable and things would be good. Then you find out one or two ways. One, you either get there and realize, you know what? More money causes just more anxiety and frustrations. Or you get there and it's all gone the next day because the market crashes. It's deceitful. The riches are deceitful. They hold out and tantalize with, oh, it's going to be good if I could ever just get financially stable. Oh, it's going to be good. I'll be so comfortable and happy. Jesus says they're deceitful. They deceive you because they won't produce that. The thing that you want, they're not going to give you. My word of the gospel will give you that, but this is going to choke it out. Another thing he says, not only deceitfulness of riches, but simply the desire for other things. Now, isn't that a catch-all category? I mean, I thought that looking at it, like, so what's going to choke it out? Just a desire for anything. It can be a good thing. Desire to spend time with your family. Desire to work out and be healthy. Desire to do good things for the community. There are a lot of desires we can have. Jesus said, yes, but be careful with those desires because those desires can actually choke out my word of the gospel. They are good things. Yes, they can be good things, but you know what? Good things can even choke out this word of the gospel if you're not listening to me and let it sink in. Spend time with me, hearing, listening, feeding. A pastor from long ago named John Calvin said it like this. He said, there is not one of us whose heart is not filled with a vast quantity, actually a thick forest of thorns. Notice what Calvin's saying? All of us have these thorns in our souls, in our hearts. There's not one of us who doesn't have thorns all the time that need to be hacked away to listen to the Lord Jesus so they don't choke out the word. We've all got this as a problem. Every Christian, every non-Christian. Thing is, Christians, we're hacking at them to try to get them out of the way so they don't encroach and kill and suck the life of the Lord Jesus out of us. And there's even more of a danger for us, I think, as Christians in this way. Because think of it, another thorn is simply hearing these things so many times that we don't listen. I find that danger as a pastor. Like I said earlier, I know many of you in this room, it would be no exaggeration to say you've heard this parable 100 times. And you've thought about it 100 times. Or maybe you haven't thought about 100 times. Maybe let's say 50. So what do I need to hear again? Oh, it's parable of the seeds again. Okay, check out. Maybe you need just hear it again and rehear it and say, ah, yes, I need to adjust my priorities. What's going on? Right? It's a recalibration that takes place. And that's a good thing when we hear this word from Jesus. That's why we're here every Lord's Day, to hear the word of the gospel and hear Jesus tell us, okay, wait a second, let's remove the cloud and the thorns. Let's get back to what the real deal is. Listen to me, hear my word of the gospel, let it sink in. And if you find yourself less and less joyful, patient, kind, here's a place to go to find out what the problem may be. The world will give you 10 steps to be happy. Jesus says, no, don't just count to 10 when you're angry. That's not going to do it. Go back to me and remember again this word of the gospel and come to me and don't let it get choked out. This is where the fruit comes. The fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. These are the things that grow up out of the seed when it's planted in you and you're hearing and listening more and more. So that's those three soils. Now, there's a fourth soil that Jesus tells about, a receptive soil. He tells us about this in verse 20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Notice he's saying these are receptive hearts and hearers. They hear the word and they accept it. What does that mean? It means they hear the word of the gospel and they believe it. It sinks in and they believe the truth that Jesus tells them. And notice he's not talking about perfect soil. He's talking about soil that's faith. Soil of faith, a person who really receives it with faith, believes Jesus and his promise, and hears the word, believes it. But he's not talking about perfect faith. He's just talking about the faith that does receive it and accept it. Because notice there's a scale of fruitfulness. Notice he says 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. All good soils, but some produce more than others. Some take it in, receive in deeper ways, that deeper penetration of the soul happens, and it produces deeper and larger, more quantity fruit. Both receive the soil, or both are soils of our faith, and faithfully receive the soil, or the seed by faith, but some received and produced a crop more. Now, Jesus is talking about those who hear, like I said, and believe. Jesus is saying, this is a person who hears my word of promise and believes it and sinks in. And remember, this is the key. The power is in the seed. It's not in the soil, right? The power is in the seed to germinate and bear fruit. And Jesus wants us to know that clearly the power is in me. My grace and the power of the gospel is what gives you life and fruit. And that's really what he said in another parable. Remember in John 15, he used this other parable of the vine and the branches. And what did he say in that parable about him and us? He said, abide in me and I in you. And it means remain in me, remain connected to me, trust me by faith. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Notice the power for life, Jesus says, is in me. I produce the sap and energy and strength you need. If you're apart from me, you produce nothing. Same with soil. Without the seed going in, it doesn't produce anything. And he's saying the same thing in this parable. The power is in the seed. The soil only receives. Francis Schaeffer called this the empty hands of faith. Now, Francis Schaeffer, many of you know, was a theologian, an author, died in the 1990s, maybe 80s, I think. And he said this in his book on true spirituality about those that what Christians need to do, what our calling is. Our calling, he said, is to believe God, raising up empty hands of faith. You know what it means to have an empty hand? It means you only receive. You're not giving, you're receiving. That's what he meant. Jesus Christ is saying that to us in this parable. The power is from him. He is the one who's done the work for our salvation. We only receive it. And that's the good, that's why it's called good news of the gospel. And that's why he's called the Savior. He's the Savior who did what we cannot do. We cannot remove the penalty of our sins. We cannot remove this stain of sin. Only Jesus could do that, and he did it on the cross, and we can only receive it from him as the good news that he gives us in the gospel. The power is in him, the seed. And should that ring a bell? It should ring a bell in your mind as a Christian at another thing Jesus said in John chapter 12. Jesus said this in John chapter 12 to these same disciples. Listen closely. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You know what he's saying there? My going to the cross to die for your sins is going to produce fruit in you. This is how the seed germinates. Do you realize that's what Christ is saying? This seed germinates because of my death and resurrection for sins. You could not remove the stain of your sin. You could not give new life to your soul. You cannot give yourself joy, peace, patience, and kindness. You can't bear that fruit. But you know what? My death and resurrection takes away your sin and gives new life to your soul. I am this powerful seed that bears fruit in your life. Christ is the seed. He is the one who can bear this because he has the one to power to do it. So our purpose as receptive soil is to receive from him and feed on him daily. That means letting his word of the gospel sink into our souls and feeding on it to remind us what he has done for our salvation. And when we do that, it colors everything we do. It changes us in a very subjective way of seeing what Christ has done, along with the objective way that he's done it by his death on the cross. Jesus is a seed who died when he went to the cross and bore our sins. And he gave new life to our souls by his resurrection. So our most dangerous fear here as Christians today is not a shooter. Please don't ever think that as Christians at Town North. The most dangerous thing we face is not listening when Christ speaks to us this word of the gospel. It'll choke us. It'll choke the soul, very soul in your body. And you know what? We can be walking dead people. You can really have a physical life with no life in us. It can be choked out, this word of the gospel. So feed on him daily. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you are the life. You are the one who has come to give life to the world and to our dead souls. We praise you and thank you, Lord Jesus. And we ask you to continue to give us ears to hear and help us, Lord. You know we are distracted people. We have got so many thorns. Please help us, Lord Jesus, to listen closely every day and every week. Give life to us through this word of the gospel every week and every day we pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen.